at 7 p.m. for Hard Knock Radio. News and views from a hip-hop perspective with Davey D. Hard Knock Radio features in-depth interviews and profiles with community leaders, activists, hip-hop artists, and musicians, giving voice to community concerns and offering a unique forum to explore issues relevant to hip-hop community. That's every weekday at 7 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. In the headlines today, our guest is Grant Smith. We're very, very fortunate to be joined by Smith. He's the director of the Washington, D.C.-based Institute for Research on Middle East Policy. They recently won the release of the report that he wrote a piece, a U.S. confirmed existence of Israeli H-bomb program in 1987. Noam Chomsky on Democracy Now! On Monday indicated that Israel probably had nuclear weapons many years even before that. The 1987 report, though, is out. Came out almost at the same time as Netanyahu's dangerous and absurd grandstanding gesture intended for the world, but basically only for himself. What an extraordinary circumstance. This is something that hasn't happened before. And the 50 or 60 or so legislators who deliberately boycotted the speech might well have attended and stood up together and asked Netanyahu about his nation's nuclear arsenal. That would have been the courageous thing to do. But in the end, that is a little late for courage. The courageous thing to do would have denied him entry into the country in the first place. There's a great many reasons to do that. This is such an extraordinary incident that it is certainly worth deconstructing and taking a very close look at, and that's what we intend to do today in the few moments that we have. Good morning, Grant, and thank you so very much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
This is the confirmation of Israel's advanced weapons system. That alone should have immediately triggered a cutoff of all U.S. aid to Israel, which is for a huge amount of money anyway, under the Symington-Glenn amendments to the U.S. Foreign Assistance Act. That's obvious, right, from the get-go. How, first off, talk about the report that you released, that U.S. confirmed the existence of Israeli H-bomb program in 1987. Can you talk a little bit about that report?
Absolutely. We sued the Department of Defense to release this report. There have been leaks that it contained just this sort of information, that Israel had extremely advanced nuclear weapons development facilities, that it was developing laser enrichment. We didn't know about the H-bomb program, but this government document clearly states that it did have a hydrogen bomb project in place. And so the U.S. government has bans on any of its federal employees talking about Israel's nuclear weapons program. There's a rule from the Department of Energy called Bulletin 136 on foreign nuclear capabilities. And this is why there aren't usually any releases of reports like this under the Freedom of Information Act or government employees talking about it. But obviously it's the elephant in the room. When you have someone like Netanyahu coming and he wants to talk about a non-existent program in Iran, which is not a threat to anybody, least of all the U.S., it makes no sense for Americans not to have in-depth information on Israel's own program, particularly since it has relied on U.S.-provided infrastructure, like their Atoms for Peace reactor in Sorek, and particularly because the Central Intelligence Agency and others have said that some of the first material for their program was diverted from a plant in Pennsylvania back in the 60s. So the U.S. Really cannot, it cannot continue to deny, and I would say even the mainstream establishment press cannot continue to deny that there is only one nuclear power in the Middle East and it is in no danger of being attacked.
And there was absolutely nothing said, no mention made. Well, the other thing, when Netanyahu was in Washington, well, if this, there's a ban on speaking about Israel's arsenal, why is there no ban then on, say, for example, North Korea, which makes a lot of noise about it? Oh, if it were any other country in the world,
absolutely,
there would have been plenty of noise about the development. What about, for example, South Africa, which Israel contributed to South Africa? There was a collusion there. I find it extraordinary the silence and the open secret. What happened when Netanyahu was there? Do you have any knowledge of any mention at all that was made of Israel? Was there anybody with the courage to actually?
No. We had challenged. We sent out some tweets and other communications challenging any member of Congress to ask that question and to put him on the spot. The Israelis have long had a formulation saying that they won't be the first to introduce nuclear weapons and things like that, but it's meaningless gibberish. And actually, we have a case just from last year where a department, employee of Los Alamos, James Doyle, wrote candidly about Israel's nuclear weapons program. He lost his job, his computer was searched, and it's all because we selectively apply these laws. This is as selectively applied as the Symington and Glenn amendments banning U.S. foreign aid to foreign nuclear powers that are outside of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Because nobody knows about these laws and there's no loud constituency insisting that they be enforced, they're not enforced, and it's really interesting. That probably one thing that nobody has really taken into account and what made Netanyahu's speech so absurd, it would have been like they compare it to Churchill's speeches. Well, it's only comparable if Winston Churchill had been talking about the evils of smoking cigars and the health problems that arise from that. It's the same for Netanyahu. He was actually involved, according to FBI documents released in 2012, in helping to smuggle Krytrons, which are nuclear triggers, from the United States through a smuggling network. So if you Google Krytrons and Netanyahu, you can see those FBI files. We just are absolutely not enforcing laws that are absolutely in the taxpayer and American voters' interest, things that will protect them when it comes to all aspects of this program. It's gotten to the point of absurdity.
Yes, and his intentions in coming to the United States and in receiving standing ovations, that's an absolute disgrace. It's disgraceful to stand up and applaud a foreign, the leader of a foreign nation that comes to the country and makes these statements, which I think nobody in Switzerland has paid very much attention to. They're continuing to get on with the job of negotiating some settlement and some drawback of this crippling sanctions.
Right. Well, that's the negotiation that most Americans who have been polled support. They don't support adding additional economic warfare measures to torture the Iranian economy and those most vulnerable in it. They want for there to be some sort of diplomatic solution. The problem is, though, that this is not even an issue. The real issues that are being swept under the table, of course, are the ongoing tragedies in Gaza, the stalemate in terms of any sort of territorial peace settlement taking place. These are the things that Netanyahu doesn't want to talk about. And so he, you know, he brings this problem to the United States. And if you do believe that the Israelis have nuclear weapons, and most Americans polled aren't fooled by all of this, you know, all of these gag orders, 63.9% believe that Israel has a nuclear weapons program, according to one poll. Well, then what's he doing here? He has the nuclear weapons, not Iran. The real goal, of course, is he wants to obfuscate and keep the attention away from the problems that he's been causing. And he also wants regime change in Iran, hopefully paid for by American taxpayers as opposed to being undertaken by anybody else. So we're at the same situation where we were in 2003, where Americans are being assailed with all sorts of hype that they're in danger, along with the Israelis, of an existential threat when they're not, and being herded into some sort of action similar to what happened with the U.S. invasion of Iraq. It's an extremely dangerous situation, made worse by the fact that another poll of American public opinion says that almost 60% already believe now that Iran has nuclear weapons. So the amount of disinformation and bellicosity swirling around these issues is really having an impact.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult once people believe in something that they fear to reverse that, because, of course, fear is an aphrodisiac and a wonderful, powerful way of controlling people. I want to ask you a bit more about Gaza. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the building of Israeli settlements has continued. It's redoubled. It's the pace, it seems. And meanwhile, in Gaza, it's almost impossible to find a bag of cement to rebuild a house. Can you talk a little bit about how Netanyahu's grandstanding business has served to further blind people to the fate of the Palestinians? More trees, I believe, were recently destroyed. This is just incredible. And that's the other enormous silence. The other enormous elephant in the room is, as the Palestinian people and the agony that they go through on a daily basis.
It is, and it's something that's an open wound. It may have fallen off the U.S. establishment media radar, what the actual situation is in terms of nutrition, lack of access to power and water, and just the overall impunity with which this population is treated. And most particularly, they've now had, in a very favorable court, a huge judgment rendered against them, which will effectively destroy and take away all of the tax revenue collected on their behalf by the Israelis and give it to some victims of some attacks that filed a lawsuit in New York. So they are being clobbered. I don't think there's any victim in the world that's been, not only had their territories appropriated, but then been herded in and continually, taken advantage of like this. But that's fallen off the media radar, and it really is to Netanyahu's benefit to be, again, trumpeting this false narrative that there's an existential threat. Because when you have an existential threat, you can talk about that and nothing else, as though, you know, these other problems that the world sees as obstacles to peace, to the key issue that must be resolved in the Middle East. You could just sweep that under the rug, and he's been doing that. But, the unfortunate thing isn't that he is doing that. The unfortunate thing is that there's such a powerful affinity and organizational might behind him here in the United States that is promoting this narrative and really drowning out virtually everything else.
So the American people have no possible, it seems, without a little bit of work, clear vision of what goes on in the world around them. Other people in other countries are a great deal more aware of exactly what you've been speaking about. We are pretty much up against our remaining minute of time. I want to commend our listeners' attention to your peace lawsuit challenges U.S. ambiguity, in quotes, toward Israel's nuclear arsenal, and that will take them directly to the story, alarming story of analyst James Doyle, which is a fascinating reading. Anything else that you would like to add?
Well, it's just that. It's just what you said. When people are armed with some basic facts, that there is only one nuclear power, that there is this more pressing issue from the U.S. perspective, but all of our bandwidth is being taken away by these political maneuvers, they have to understand they've got to go out and arm themselves with information and get away from all of these distortion networks that are surrounding the typical American, and really find out what's going on, get the truth. And that's step number one. We can take no other steps until we have the truth.
Thank you so much for that. You have been a wonderful guest. I thank you on behalf of all of our listeners. My guest has been Grant Smith, and this has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, March the 4th, 2015. And our engineer today has been Tammy Dean, and our, of course, AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Chris Andre. This has been Air Cascadia. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.